and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. One thing admirable about Elijah that we can learn a great deal from is his prayer life. And this is brought up again in James 5 when it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Do we act like people who have confident prayer lives around the people we live with, love, work with, serve around? Do we act like it? And if not, how would we ever expect for someone to say, I want to do what you do, because I've seen it work, and I've seen the way you handle things, and you don't fly off the handle, and you don't worry and pout. I've seen you pray about things. Do we pray around lost people? One of the most humbling things you can do is pray with a lost person and see how much more sincere they are in prayer than you. It happens to me, and it convicts me every time, because they don't know what all's going on like you might know, but they know that something special just happened, and they appreciate it. And so look for opportunities to do that and let people know. We're not showing off. Jesus said when he prayed for Lazarus to be raised from the dead, I'm not praying out loud for me, but so that they can see. It wasn't to show off for himself. It was so that people could learn to believe in him. What's our prayer life look like, and do we act like it's any good? Also, we see in Elijah something that's worthy to be mimicked, and that is his boldness. We have to keep in mind that these kings of Israel, these kings of Judah, were not small people. They were leaders of one of the powers of the world. And so whenever a prophet has an opportunity to come before one of these kings, he literally took his life in his hand. And so Elijah talks to Obadiah to get an audience with Ahab, and Obadiah knew that Ahab was so upset with Elijah that he was afraid to even tell Ahab that Elijah was there, because if Elijah wasn't, Ahab was going to kill him. That's what he was concerned about. And in verse 17 of chapter 18, it says, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Verse 18, and he, Elijah, answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Can we stand before the lost and tell them that the troubles that they're trying to blame on everything else but themselves has to do with straying from the path of God and sinning against Him? And he says, you are the troubler of Israel because you have departed from the faith of God. Now, we live in a world that thinks we're troublers because we teach what the Word says. We need to have the boldness, we need to have the foundation in the faith to be able to answer in truth. But also we learn in Scripture that we need to be able to answer with a good spirit, an answer in love. And we know that we're going to fail. And that was another thing we see about Elijah that gives me hope. And that is, you might be looking and you might say, you know what, I've gotten discouraged and I've given up. Or I never really even tried. Or I'm not sure... what my place is. Isn't it interesting that Elijah basically goes through about all of that, where he tries and he feels like he failed, he feels like no one else is going to be with him, he feels like he doesn't know what he's going to do. So he's an example of patient obedience. And what do I mean? You say, it doesn't seem like he was very patient when he hid under the bush and said he just wanted to die. But what was he doing? He was listening to God and he was following him, trying to figure out what to do. And when God said, what are you doing here? Who did he go to? He didn't complain to other people. He went to God, and he said that he alone was left of the prophets of Israel. That's how he felt. Maybe you felt that way. Have you just given up, or have you been going to God with the things that you're suffering through? And you say, I'm not sure how to deal with this. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what I'm meant to do. Instead of drawing away from God or doing nothing, go to him. And whenever God came to him, God corrected him. Because it's when God came to him that Elijah said in verse 14, I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And God said, you're going to go and you're going to anoint kings and you're going to get Elisha started. And he says in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. He says, there's a lot more for you than you think, and there's hope. But what you need to practice is patience and obedience. And that's what Elijah went on to do. And it was what made him worthy of following. I've heard from many brethren in many places. I'm not talking about anyone in particular here. This idea of, we tried it, and there's nobody interested. Nobody's listening. We've really taught the gospel to every person. We live in a county of about 15 to 17,000 people, depending on how the count is. With all these mountains in West Virginia, we're probably missing a few hundred. But we live in a quad state area that has a very low saturation of churches. And I believe that if we get the right mindset, we don't need to worry about keeping the lights on in this building. We need to make plans to build other buildings to teach the gospel to the lost in places that are too far for people to drive to get here, but they need to be able to go somewhere. And for us to do that, we need to be what we need to be. And instead of looking at failures, and instead of feeling like we've done all there is and there's no more to do, we need to know that there are still those out there who, given the opportunity, will happily obey the gospel and be faithful servants of the Lord. And until we've turned every stone, until we've really taught every person, until the day that we die, we don't stop. Because that's what we see in Scripture. And so what we see is Elijah continued what makes him so admirable. And so as we look at our lives today, I want to suggest to you that while Elijah was on quite an impressive mountain, being at Mount Horeb, and he saw the displays of God, the earthquakes and the fire, and he heard the noise, and then he heard the still small voice, that we have a greater mountain. We have drawn near to Mount Zion, the mountain from which the word of Jesus Christ our Savior has gone forth from the first century. And you see, we're told, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, that we need to, like Timothy did, teach those things that have been taught to us to faithful people who teach others also. We need to preach the word in season and out of season, and reprove, and we need to be able to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering, with patience and teaching. And somebody might say, well, Timothy was a preacher. Timothy needed to do that. But we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we see he's saying that all Christians are going to suffer. He's talking about those people, the dispersion, people who are leaving their homes because they were losing their jobs, they were being taken into courts, their houses were being raided because people were trying to shake Christians out. And he's talking to them, and by extension us. And he says that we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and always be ready to give an answer for the reason of hope that is in us. Now, that needs to be us, every one of us, because we need to be ready to be teaching people. We don't retire. We live and we die for Christ. And I think of Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there and read along with me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. We have a greater calling than Elijah. One reason I can be where I am today, and one reason we know what we know today, is because God chose the prophet Elijah, and he put the Holy Spirit in him to go and work great miracles and to teach people. But whenever we look at Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 18, he says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that they would, the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded." See, he's saying we've come to a different mountain. He says, going on to verse 20, And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks to better things than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are to be shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Do we live like we have a calling even greater than Elijah's? Because we do. And we have a world in need around us. If you've taken early retirement from your Christian walk, find what it is you need to do today to serve and to live and to love and minister for Christ. Whatever that might be. And you have brothers and sisters here, me too, who want to help you any way you can. If there's something you don't know what to do, we've thrown out options of things you might do today already. As simple as trying to help some things with setup of VBS or something like that. Or you have friends or family that need to hear the gospel, and I'll never see them teach them. Perhaps I never have the opportunity like you do. But put me to work if you set up a study with somebody. You can do that. But don't go on not living and serving the way that you need to. Ask and seek and find. If you haven't started a life of service with God through Christ, would you do that today? If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him before men, you can be baptized and have those sins washed away. But until you've done that, you haven't actually started a life that's worth living, not the life that you were designed for. So whatever your need is, let us know by having a seat up front as we stand and sing the invitation song.